Glass
How are
of
you,
tea.
RuPaul Andre Charles? It's a lot of tea.
Now, yes, it's a lot of tea. Now, we've got a very special guest coming up, someone I work with on Skin Wars. Rebecca Romijn's going to be here a little later.
Love her.
But now I just want to get into this thing. A few episodes ago, we had a story where I talked about these rodents that I had a run-in with, but, literally.
Yes, you went down an alley with PJ when you were riding these bikes through the city, and it was literally infest, like bubonic plague.
Yes.
London Bridge is falling down.
Yeah, what you're thinking, but more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was in Chicago recently.
Really?
And I was at the hotel. I did a charity gig there, which is great. I do it every year.
Oh, right. I saw a picture of you at Roscoe's.
Super fun. It was for the Safe School Alliance. I love doing it. We stay at this hotel, and it's always the same hotel. But my car came at 3:30, I think, or 4 in the morning.
To take you back
to take me to the airport. Because I was there less than 24 hours. So long story short, I'm at the front desk talking to the girl, waiting for the car, looking outside, and I see a rat hoedown going on in the front. They were zinging all over the place.
Oh, my.
I must have seen about six. I looked at it. I go, the rats are having a party outside. She goes, I know. It's been a problem. This is a city. It's Chicago. And I go, I know. They're smaller than New York City rats. They're not the cat rats that we have.
Yeah.
But literally, I was like, wow. So my car pulls up.
Oh, dear.
My car pulls up.
Oh, dear.
I have my little suitcase. It was less than 24 hours. It's
suitcase. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I walk out the door.
No, yes.
And one bangs off my ankle. It ran right into my ankle. It ran right into my ankle.
Oh, no.
It ran and headbutted into my ankle.
Oh, my God. Maybe it was delirious. Maybe it was on something.
They were pinging all over. I'm telling you. And then I walked out, and I was like, oh, I'm good, because it'll scare them. Yeah. Bing! Bounced right off my ankle, and I go, and I start screaming. The guy's like, what's wrong? I'm like, a rat just ran. And I love rats, but not those kind of ran right into my ankle. And like I can still feel it banging into my ankle.
No.
It could have bit me. I could have been rabid.
Right.
I could have been dead sitting here in front of you.
How do you know you're not, though? How do you know you're not right now?
It didn't bite me because I had sweatpants on from Zara saved my life, essentially.
Zara saved your life.
Last night, a Zara saved my life. So essentially, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You can breathe.
Right.
But I thought of you instantly.
Well, you know, it's funny because maybe those rats were eating like some coffee Danish. Maybe they had drank some coffee.
Maybe.
Maybe they were on something.
Or,
you know,
like mouse nip.
Yes.
Because they were on a hot, they were pinging all over. And I was like, this is really like, there's like a party going on out there. She's like, I know, it's like a problem.
Yeah. Well, apparently in New York, there is a huge problem right now, too. In fact, there are people who get together in crowds and they have these Jack Russell Terriers.
Who seek them out.
Because, you know, they were trained, right? Jack Russell trained to.
Yeah, because they're called rat terriers too.
Yes, that's right.
So they chase them.
Yeah, and so they have these gangs of people who go around New York and go look for those areas and let their dogs get them.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? You said you love rats. What do you love about
Lily
rats?
My daughter had a rat. Like, I'm a big fan of domesticated rats because they're the best animal. I swear to you, I know you're going to look at me like I'm insane.
I am looking at you.
You're not going to the streets of New York.
The people who are listening right now, just know that I'm looking at her right now like she's insane.
The screw face he's giving me. Yeah. But the thing is, they're not the rats you'd go and say, oh, I want this one as a pet and pick it up out of the gutter. Yeah. Domesticated rats are the smartest. The only problem is they last 2 years. They inevitably always die of a tumor. But they literally sit on your shoulder, will hang out with you. They are the smartest. That's why they use rats for all that kind of testing.
Yeah,
stuff.
No, I believe it. I do believe it. You know, and we talked about this before.
They're brilliant.
I have an affinity to rats. I don't want to be around rats.
You don't have an affinity. You are.
No, I do. No, I do.
But you love them?
Yeah, no, I have this. They somehow mean good luck to me. I'm born the year of the rat.
So you draw them to you.
Yeah, but
do you think?
I think the first word is correct. I have an affinity with rats.
Affinity means that you love them.
I do secretly love rats.
Okay, you just want to be right.
I don't want to be right. Yeah,
I'm going to look at the definition because I could be wrong. Imagine that I could be wrong.
I can't imagine, Michelle. Not at all.
It doesn't happen. Not ever. But aversion is the word I was thought you were looking
for. I have both. Can I have both, please?
You may have both. You love and hate.
Yeah. So you were in Chicago for overnight. God, you've been traveling so much.
Listen, a natural liking for or an attraction?
Okay, well, so there is an attraction.
So essentially, you attract them.
I attract them, and I know that it means it's an important occurrence when I see them.
Oh, so it's like the thing that, you know, like when they say, my mother died, and when my mother died, I always see butterflies.
Yeah.
So my mother is a butterfly.
Right.
Is it that kind of thing?
It's that kind of thing.
So maybe your mom was a rat.
Maybe my mother was a rat.
I love it. You know, love that.
Which is fine.
Listen, traveling, yes. Traveling's really important. We've got the book and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that's how we keep our – that's how we hustle. That's how we get the hustle.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
And we talk about the show. We, you know, I talk to people and see what they loved, who their favorites are, what they love, what challenges they love. Like, I actually – it's like doing a focus group, a one-person focus group.
Right.
You can't get better than being out there with the people that love the show.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. I just – you know, I've spent most of my life with a suitcase traveling the world. Mm-hmm. And at this point in my life, I'm so glad I'm not doing that right now.
When I get my full-time TV shows, I won't do it as well.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know, I had a big break between doing it for 2 years in Seduction and then staying placed for 17 years doing radio.
Yeah.
So I didn't do all that traveling in there. So for me, it's like amazing to be out there and doing that kind of meeting and loving the people that love our show.
Did you get your TSA casting?
I got all of that.
You got that.
I got global entry. I got
Global entry, girl.
I do. Don't even try it with me, girl.
Global entry. That sounds sexy.
Yes, it's everything that you think it is and more. And it's moist. My global entry is always moist. And they're always waiting for me.
So you went through all that. Because I do have the TSA.
The pre-check?
Yeah, pre-check.
The pre-com?
Yes. Yeah. I have that and I love it. Don't have to take my shoes off.
Yeah.
Did you go into Glendale's to get yours?
I went to LAX.
LAX
I had to
that.
Go to LAX to be interviewed and fingerprinted and all that stuff for the global entry.
Tell everybody what the process is. You have to do what?
They do a background check. You have to give them all your information, take fingerprints. You have to have a passport or some kind of legal ID, and then they go through your background. They run a background check on you.
Right, right.
Which you want them to do.
You want them to do. It's worth it if you don't have to take your shoes off and wait in the line with everybody else.
You take your backpack. You take your laptop out of your bag and all that. Or your liquids. For me, it's always like, I try to keep my liquids in a bag. But you know, inevitably, there's a lip gloss hanging out here.
Right.
There's a nail glue I forgot that I just bought at CVS.
Yes.
You know, there's all those things going on.
Yeah.
So it is a good thing, and it's worth the interview. And for global entry, I think it was like $200 or $300. It's worth it because when everybody's online through customs, I zip right through to the kiosk.
Yeah.
I am through 123.
Right.
Totally worth it.
Yes. Straight beeline over to duty free.
Beeline over to global entry.
Yeah.
And I don't wait on any line, and you're through before anybody gets to customs. Like, there's no line.
Right.
So it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I still get to travel a little bit. I go to New York all the time, you know.
You go to New York and Wyoming. That's, life is great.
You know, we went to Hawaii.
You went to London.
Went to London. Uh-huh. Went to Hawaii for a vacation, which is great.
Well, you travel because you want to, not because you have to.
Right. Well, no, I have to travel to New York to do promo stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
And you still have a place there, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you like to keep up with that. And it's home, even though you're not from there. To me, I know your Atlanta roots. I know your San Diego roots. But to me, when I think of you, I think of New York City because you were – A, that's where I met you.
Yeah.
But B, I think New York City is what shaped your life. Many ways.
Absolutely. I actually, you know, I talk about Atlanta. I don't really have a connection to Atlanta anymore. In fact, I barely know anyone down there.
I know, but people still remember you because they'll say, I remember Rue from, you know, these days and those days. And it's funny because the Atlanta days, even though I know about them, don't know much about them with you. But I do know more about San Diego. And of course, I know about New York City.
Well, it's even weirder for me to go to San Diego because that was so much so long ago that I don't know anybody down there. In fact, my sister Renetta.
Yes, you do. You know Chad Michaels.
I know. But Chad Michaels lives up in Encinitas, which is like almost midway between L.A. and San Diego.
Is it like Carlsbad type of?
Yes.
Yeah, got
exactly.
It. Okay.
Exactly. But in San Diego, I know very few people. Very few people.
Yeah, but it still holds, even if that's when you left and left everything behind, and that was the last we saw of young boy RuPaul, and then left and superstar RuPaul emerged, you know, it still holds who you are. It's like, I haven't been back to South Plainfield.
Do you think you know anybody still in South Plainfield?
100% I know people.
You're kidding
100%
me.
Because don't forget, here's the difference. I went to high school there.
Yeah.
You didn't go to high school in San Diego, right?
I did. I called myself going to high school.
When you left at 15?
Yeah. By the time I was 15, I'd already gone to 3 high schools in San Diego.
So I'm venturing to guess that you probably know more people than you think because sometimes people like... There are people that have not left South Plainfield, New Jersey, that are still there. As a matter of fact, I got an email from our guy who is putting together our 30th high school reunion.
You are kidding me.
30th?
Why would he do that?
First of all, I've been out of high school for 30 years. Can we not ever say that aloud again?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Then there was like all the people that he put in on the group Facebook chat.
Yeah.
They're still living there.
Uh-huh.
They're still living there. Not all of them.
Right.
But some of them are. And it's like, oh, okay. Because it's a comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens a lot. Like if I go back, I knew that – I even knew in that moment – when I was leaving for New York City that I was going to go, I'm going to see you when I come back and you're going to be working at this bar.
Uh-huh.
Or you're going to be at the diner. Like, and no disrespect.
Yeah.
But you know, you feel it.
But, you know, people do that. I know that people are afraid.
It's
comfort. People want to be around their families.
Yeah.
So,
and where they grew up. It's familiar.
Yeah.
People love familiarity. It's just like when you change a morning show on a radio station, people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
They want the same thing every day.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to have Rebecca Romijn, who I do Skin Wars with, and she's got a new show. Actually, it's a second season called The Librarian. So
cool.
When we come back, we've got Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Let's talk about Adam and Eve.
Let's.
Yes, listen, if you're looking to spice some things up into bedroom, or you've been fantasizing about your love with an adventurous new toy or adult movie,
yeah,
girl, we have an offer for you that you will not be able to resist.
Well, not to mention it's almost Thanksgiving, so you want to talk about some real stuffing?
Ooh, gobble, gobble.
Ooh, what's that?
All you got to do is go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item.
But that's not all, kids.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs. And you know how much we love an adult DVD for a little, well, let's say inspiration. Plus,
okay,
a free extra gift so sensual, Rue and I can't even mention it on the podcast.
Oh, gas.
And to top it all off, and everybody loves a good top, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, darlings, we are not kidding. So go to adamandeve.com for a limited time only and get the 50% off just about any item. We love you, Adam and Eve.
Oh, and don't forget, you get 50% off one item with the offer code RU.
Meow.
Hey, Michelle, Boland Branch sheets. Man, oh, man, I know how much you love those sheets.
Literally like rolling around in a tub of butter.
I think everybody should experience them. Listen, they will give you a 30-night to try them out.
Right.
And if you don't love them for any reason, you just send them back, refund your money, and no hassle at all.
But I'm telling you, 30 nights with these bad boys, you ain't returning nothing. You're going to sleep like you've never slept before.
Hey, plus, they'll give you $50 off a set of sheets, plus free shipping.
What?
Just go to BolandBranch.com and use the promo code Rue, R-U. That's right. Get $50 towards a pair of sheets and get going on now to Boland Branch and your beautiful dreams.
And it's Bowl. That's B-O-L-L, BolandBranch.com. And use the promo code R-U.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, boo-boo.
We are here with Michelle Visage. What's the tea, child? We have a special guest up in here.
Yes, very excited.
Yes, Rebecca Romijn is here.
Hey.
Hi, Ladykins.
Hi.
Now, a lot of people know we're actually in the middle of filming Skin Wars,
mm-hmm,
which is a show on GSN. But you have a show on TNT.
There's
a lot of
cheese. It's just TNT.
Just TNT. Yes,
TNT. It's called The Librarians because reading is what?
Fundamental.
Yes. So The Librarians, I mean, you've had a lot of TV shows.
Yes. You know, some of them don't last very long.
Well, that's the nature of the beast.
That's the nature of the beast.
But your first one was Hose, wasn't it?
Hose.
Oh, sorry. House of Style. Isn't that what it's called?
Yep. Yep.
Hose. Yep. Okay, wait a minute. Okay.
I was the hose host.
Yes, you were.
Host of hose.
The ultimate hose, baby.
I was the host of hose for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
That's where I got my start.
2.5 years.
Yeah. They say the first day you start working at MTV, start looking for your next job.
Oh, okay.
That's what they say.
All right.
About
that
MTV
actually falls in line with the people that I know that have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that could be true for any network these days.
Amen.
Any job.
But why did they say that specifically about MTV?
I don't know, because it's, you know, it's sort of transient.
Right.
And a younger demographic, and you know, youth moves quickly, so it's all on to the next.
Right, that's right.
You're
right.
Old pretty quickly at MTV.
And
that's
it's so funny that is the norm for every network now. All the networks who, you know, we do the show for GSN, which is you know, for games, but, you know, they move into other areas so they can broaden the audience,
yes.
You know, which is interesting.
I think, and Skin Wars actually has really been the beginning of the expansion of GSN's format.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's
yes.
fun. It's a smaller company that's expanding, and we get to be at the bottom of that. It's fun.
I don't think MTV cares about expansion at all. They want to super serve their 12 to 15-year-old uh-huh. boys, and,
right.
and they're kind of good with it.
Right.
So that's I think that's exactly why that kind of adage stands.
Yeah, no, they move quickly.
Yeah.
And what years were you the host of MTV Style?
Gosh.
Who was there before? Was it?
It was Cindy and then Daisy Fuentes, mm-hmm. and then I came along. And that would have been 97, 98?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Somewhere in there?
Yes. And then, now, of course, you were primarily known for being a model and on the cover of Sports Illustrated and all that kind of stuff. But did you have aspirations to act way before that?
Way before that. I was a musical theater nerd growing up. And
Michelle is too.
Oh.
Yeah.
That just makes my heart sing.
Yes, yes. And I had put that on ice while I was, you know, becoming a model. And I needed to polish up my game. I mean, I moved to Europe and the fashion was great for me. Like, mm-hmm. I really didn't know anything about hair, makeup, fashion. And I got schooled.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I loved it. Loved, loved, loved it. But then when I moved to New York and it moved into, like, you know, catalog jobs and it started getting less exciting,
right.
less exotic traveling,
yeah.
Less editorial, I really, it was time to move on. And
did someone help you map that out? Because, you know, for everyone who doesn't know about modeling, you know, you start big and you started big, mm-hmm. you know. Does the agency say, well, when it trickles down into catalog work and then hand modeling and then go sees at the Chelsea Hotel, that's when you should probably say adios.
I was really my own pilot at that point because I just knew that I was losing my mind. Mm. I didn't like modeling anymore. If it was, you know, just this like daily grind of going to these catalog shoots, it was not, that wasn't interesting to me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I knew I wanted to get back into acting. And at that point, it felt like the only legitimate platform was House of Style.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It was big.
It was big. And there were all these models who were trying to make this leap into movies and acting, and they were falling mm-hmm. on their faces. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it and thinking, I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going
you
to.
You mean Cindy Crawford's
I'm not
theatrical
naming names.
Debut?
Fair game.
Girl.
I rushed to the theater
Girl,
to see
so
that.
Girl, so did
How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it about five times.
Yes!
While it was in theaters.
Yeah, it's a must see. Are you kidding me? Epic.
Yeah, it is epic. It's no. for all the wrong reasons.
So I wanted to pick a. I wanted to pick a way to get there that felt legitimate. And palatable for people to say, okay, well, there's a model who's on camera and she's actually handling it. And I also, at the time, I lived in the West Village and Conan O'Brien premiered his show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of his first guests on there. And, I had a really good time on there. And I sort of became friendly with the show. And whenever they would have a guest fall out, they would call me up and I would mm-hmm. go to the Conan O'Brien show and fill in for people mm-hmm. last minute. And, mm-hmm. and it was sort of a nice way to practice talk show appearances
yeah.
and that,
yeah.
you know, that whole thing.
Well, where in the West Village did you live?
On Christopher Street.
Oh, we're in Christopher.
All the way over on the West Side. Christopher and Weehawken.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that. Right. Because I had a place on 10th. And Weehawken.
And we were in the same hood.
That's right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Except Christopher Street's the gayest street in New York City.
Well, it, uh-huh. used,
it used to be.
It's yeah. not so much anymore.
It's gentrified
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
different.
Yeah. Aww. You've got to sort of zigzag around the baby strollers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
yeah. So then, okay. So then House of Style. And then how soon before you got this huge starring role in a Brian De Palma film called Femme Fatale?
Femme Fatale.
Because your first big acting job was on Friends?
My first paid acting gig was guest starring on Friends.
I mean, which, let's not, I mean, that's huge.
That's
you
got
to take a minute to
that's huge.
Understand how Friends impacted
at,
the world.
At that, yeah, Friends was at the height of its success
yeah,
at that point.
Julia Roberts went on Friends, like, names,
yeah.
movie stars.
And
yeah.
it was actually a show that I watched. Did you guys watch Friends?
Yeah. I've never seen one episode
of
Friends.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, I've seen it in repeats.
Yeah. yeah. It was a solid show.
100%.
Yeah. And then I did Just Shoot Me. I did a season of Just Shoot Me, Right
what do you
after
mean a
I
season
did,
of you had a recurring character.
I had
character?
A recurring character on Just Shoot Me, uh-huh. So I did a season of that, and I really liked working in television. I'm a child of the '80s. I love television. I was a latchkey kid. I grew up watching tons of television. My mom used to worry about how much television I watched, but then she would watch me watching television, thinking, "Oh, she's doing business right now," and I was.
And you were home. We knew where you were.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? She knew where you
watching
were
watching TV.
Right.
So
you were
right.
downloading information. Uh-huh. Yes.
So I really, that first time I guest starred on Friends, I remember we taped that night and we left at like 1:30 in the morning and I walked out of there going, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
I know I want to do this.
Yeah. Who directed that episode?
Oh gosh, don't ask me.
So a season on Just Shoot Me. So you had scenes with the great George Segal?
George Segal and Wendy Malick and Laura San Giacomo.
I love Wendy Malick.
Oh, it was
She's
great. Enrico Colantoni, David Spade. Yeah, it was great. It was a really good time. And it was also... You know, you learn a lot and you sponge off of these great actors just being in their presence and you know,
right.
learning from them.
And so the season of Just Shoot Me. And then
I got X-Men.
Oh, X-Men before
Femme Fatale. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so this is all happening. Did you keep the modeling deal? Did you still have an agent with the modeling?
I did. Yeah. For a long time. And I was sort of commuting between East Coast and West Coast. I'd met my ex-husband who's living in Los Angeles. So mm-hmm. I was going back and forth.
By the way, I just got to say it. Being a girl who grew up on General Hospital and being in love with Blackie Parrish,
yeah.
When that moment happened, literally, you could hear the hearts break around
yes.
the world.
Right, really? Right. Was it his first? We're talking about John Stamos. Was it his first marriage?
That was his first marriage. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's and his only marriage.
And his only
marriage.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's known as a playboy. You know,
she was the one who could kind of tame the lion, but still, and you know, it's none of my business. I'm not even going to go there. Yeah. I'm just going to say, as a girl, who was in love, no. You don't understand the obsession. It was like, oh my, like we were so jealous.
Yeah. Well, this was long after General Hospital days. This was at the tail end of Full House. He was doing the last season of Full House.
Still have a mullet? Right.
Still the mullet.
Yeah.
Still the mullet, but it was moving into, it looked good. He looked good.
Yeah.
Real good.
Oh, yeah.
He always looked good. He's a fine looking human being. There's no arguing.
Fine
with that.
Man. Yes. Still a very fine. Will always be.
Yes.
Baklava.
Beautiful.
Did anyone warn you
being.
Against, because you're married to an actor now, did anyone warn you against marrying a good, not fine piece of baklava? Is that what you said?
I said. It's true.
It's
nuts
true.
And all.
It's true.
Yeah.
No. Nuts and all.
Did anyone warn you against marrying an actor?
No, I don't. Nobody. I mean,
who can warn you?
Yeah, who can warn you? Nobody tells you who you can and can't fall in love with. You know?
I'd take an actor over a model any day.
Totally.
Well, yeah. But now. And then you took his name. Now,
I did.
I've asked you about this before.
Yes, we talked about this.
Now, were there any. Does anybody say, you know what? Rebecca Romijn is already a brand. You're starting a brand. Why would you want to dilute it or change the brand with someone else's name?
The word brand and the concept of brand wasn't really part of my repertoire. It didn't come up.
Right.
I was in love.
Yeah.
You know, I was young. I was in my early 20s.
But let me ask the two of you. Okay. You
both. Because I want to ask something with conjunction, and then you ask yours first.
Because this is something that's always puzzled me. You know, I grew up around all women. I my life has been spent around women.
Clearly.
And, you know, for...
You ain't winning any Butch Queen categories anytime soon.
No, and you both have two daughters.
Yes.
For women or females in our culture, you know, probably all cultures, the holy grail is to be married. That's your big
for
ticket.
A lot of women, agreed.
Well, for most. Now, you know, but for most.
Yeah.
And for men, it's to be respected and to be thought of as something who, you know, whatever. For a woman to take on her husband's last name, do you, both of you, this is for both of you, feel that it's a way to sort of let your husband not feel intimidated by your own power or your ascension into stardom? Do you know where I'm going with this?
You go first.
No.
Because I have an answer.
For me, it was more about, you know, bringing us together and becoming a family. And I didn't drop Romijn.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about identifying as a unit.
Did anyone say, maybe not a good idea?
No,
nobody said that. I mean,
you live and you learn.
2020, Ru.
No, you live and you learn. You can't regret.
Right. And people still refer to me as Stamos.
What I was going to ask you. My question was because it became so ingrained in our mind that now when I think of you, and I know you're married to Jerry,
Jerry O'Connell.
Amazing actor, sweet guy. Every time I've met him, but never had time to spend. But what I see in him in public is his energy is so lovable.
He's lovely.
Yeah, you could tell. But every time I think of you, it's Rebecca Romijn Stamos. Always.
I know. Well, it still rolls off of people's tongues, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it did make an already fairly long name even longer. But as I was working and, you know.
Because you were Rebecca Romijn for the longest time.
Romijn, exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody can
Romijn,
say my
name.
Right. Right. Nobody can even say.
Oh, that Rebecca Romijn looks so good. On the radio. And Ru was probably like, yeah. Did not know.
Rebecca Romijn.
Yes.
It's a name that sort of came along with my success. So it's hard for people to drop the Stamos, which I understand.
Yeah.
Jerry thinks I should not have dropped Stamos. Jerry actually would like to add Stamos to his own name.
Jerry O'Connell Stamos.
He thinks I made a huge mistake dropping Stamos.
We all say it anyway. I have to go, no.
Yeah.
Rebecca Romijn.
He thinks everybody is better off with the name Stamos.
I would have to agree.
Well, you know, that in a nutshell, that explains him right there.
That's what you see and you fall in love with.
That's him right in a nutshell.
He's right.
That's hilarious.
But can I tell you my theory on taking the male name, please?
Yeah,
yes.
Because my maiden name was Shupak.
Uh-huh.
I literally couldn't run fast enough to sign the paper to take my husband's name of Case.
Well, you were smart, though, to start with a fake name.
Yes.
Because that is so smart. You know, we were talking about this yesterday on the set, is that, you know, you go to, if your real name is always on public records.
Right.
So if anybody's out there listening who wants to get into show business, get a fake name.
Yes.
Get a stage name so you can avoid, on court papers, at the gynecologist's office.
Yes, you were just saying yesterday you wished you had picked a stage name because it's embarrassing and going into these doctor's appointments and having them call your name out loud.
I told her a story when, I'm over 50 and I, every man over 50, if you're listening, you have to go get a colonoscopy, and I'm sitting
what?
A colonoscopy. Is that right?
Say it again.
It's colonoscopy.
Close. Colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy?
Yes, there's a C in there.
I've been saying it wrong all these
years. Put the C in for colon.
And the extra C.
Get dumped. Extra C for colon cavity. Colonoscopy.
Well, I'm going in for my colonoscopy.
Yay!
Sitting in this room and, they're with a lot of people and everybody's there for the same reason.
Right.
And the woman comes out and says, RuPaul.
As if she had to look.
And it's my first name. She could have said Mr. Charles.
Yes!
But, whatever. But, we're here with Rebecca Romijn.
Just Romijn.
Yep, just Romijn these days.
And we've got lots of stuff to ask her.
But you didn't
about.
Take O'Connell.
It's on my driver's license.
Okay, so like in real life.
It's, you know why? It started to matter to my kids.
Right.
Of course.
It matters to my kids that we all have the same name.
I agree.
And
that's, in a nutshell, the sum of what you were asking earlier. I don't think for me it's about giving my husband any lift because
no,
it's a manly thing, but it's not a necessary thing that says that your family's a unit.
But do you think some women do that, though?
Maybe. We don't want to speak for them. When it becomes important to your kids that everybody have the same name in your family, then it matters.
That's why a lot of times when they get divorced, like I know some of my girlfriends didn't change their name back because their kids still have the father's last name. So they wait till they're a certain age and then they say, mommy's dumping his name.
My mom did that, actually.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a real quick break, but we got lots and lots of questions to ask Rebecca Romijn about everything.
Yes.
So stay with us. Hey, let's talk about Boll & Branch.
Yes.
They're so lovely. I love. You know what? A good night's sleep. You can't beat a good night's sleep.
And you also can't beat a good sheet.
That's right.
After a hard day.
Well, I mean, that's what the contact with your body is on those sheets. Now, I highly recommend Boll & Branch. In fact, it's bollandbranch.com for the most gorgeous sheets you'll ever have in your life.
Uh-huh. They're absolutely delicious. Literally, when you lay down, it's like sleeping in heaven. It's fantastic. Don't listen to the bullshit of all these other things of having to get Egyptian cotton and the worship of thread counts. It's such crap.
It is crap. I mean, the department stores have been putting this over on us for years. Go to bollandbranch.com to get the sheets that are going to make you feel like the queen that you are.
And here's the thing. Until Boll & Branch, we haven't been able to kind of get the good prices for these kind of
right.
sheets.
The markups are crazy.
Insane. You will get now the nicest sheet you've ever owned for about, are you ready for this? Half the price of what stores and boutiques would be charging for much lesser quality.
Oh, that's criminal.
I know. And they're made with entirely organic cotton.
Now, see, I know you would love that.
Fits right into my lifestyle,
right.
100%.
Yes.
And by the way, a night sleeping on Boll & Branch sheets makes your day so much better. You can get up, revived, refreshed, and ready to take on the world.
Yeah. Now, listen, part of the way they're able to keep the prices so low is by selling exclusively online at BollAndBranch.com. Listen, you want to get an extra little something-something?
Uh-huh.
Put in that offer code RU.
Yes.
And you'll get $50 off.
And remember, it's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L and Branch. Don't go to no little kiosk saying, we have Boll & Branch, but... Here it's called Mole and Ranch. No, sorry. BollAndBranch.com. Use the promo code RU. Get $50 towards a sheet set by going right now to BollAndBranch.com and use the promo code RU.
We are back with Rebecca Romijn. Now, she is starring in the TNT series The Librarians, which starts, I know it starts on November 1st.
November 1st, 2-hour season premiere,
what
8 p.m.
It?
What is it?
Talk to me.
The Librarians are a group of specially selected geniuses who were sought out by the New York Metropolitan Library to seek out dangerous magical artifacts hidden around the world to keep them out of the hands of evildoers.
Oh my God, that's the story of my life.
Now, uh-huh. Is this a reality show or is this a scripted show? Because I really believe in magical librarians.
It is so. A fantasy adventure show.
Oh my God, I'm going to love it.
I play their guardian.
Oh, yay!
Guardian. Why do they need a guardian?
They need a guardian because they're magical librarians, and the bad guys are always after them, and
right.
they need a bodyguard. And
right.
I and the guardian was also selected by the library to
so
protect them.
So you're magical
them.
Too.
We're not magical. Actually, the librarians are not magical. The guardian is not magical. I have a highly specialized skill set.
Got it. No, what's magical are the artifacts.
The artifacts are
okay.
magical,
right.
yes.
And this
I
is the third season of this show.
This is our second season.
Second season.
Three librarian movies starring
right.
Noah Wiley as the librarian. And this is the series, the franchise, the series.
He's our
executive producer.
Oh, there you go.
He's not in all of the episodes. He's in about half of our episodes.
Noah Wiley from ER fame.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
And Falling Skies fame.
Yes.
Mm. And so he's the original librarian. And they brought in these three librarians in training who have now been promoted to librarian status, and I'm sort of their team leader and their trainer.
How cool is that?
It's pretty fun.
It started as a series of books first?
It started as a series of movies that were really, really successful in cable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
basic cable.
Yeah.
Very highly successful basic cable movies.
Yeah, right on.
But it does sound like a book series, doesn't it?
It does, because it reminds me of the Da Vinci Code or something like National
Something like
Treasure.
That. Yeah.
Like Doctor
Treasure.
Who. It's a little yes. Indiana Jones, which
yes.
is a genre that I love, but sillier. We do not take ourselves seriously
so
at all.
Thriller, mm-hmm. sci-fi,
it's fun fantasy adventure. We're sort of a bunch of buffoons to a certain.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
And now you've had several series before then. If I can remember, there was one, Pepper Dennis. There was, I know that you were on Eastwick. Which was a TV series based on The Witches of Eastwick. Then you were a cop on a cop show on TNT.
King and Maxwell.
Who is that guy?
John Tenney.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes, he's fantastic.
How many seasons did that run?
We just did that for one season.
John Tenney, is that the ex-husband of...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Terry Hatcher.
The daughter Emerson?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you know Emerson?
Reading the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Michelle. Like everybody knows Emerson.
Daily Mail.
Right.
Is
thank
the
you.
Holy Bible of all of that. Yes.
And four seasons of Ugly Betty.
Oh my God.
Right.
You were the transsexual.
I was a transsexual. Alexis Mead. First transsexual in primetime television.
That's absolutely right.
Did you get a lot of backlash for that? For it not being an actual transgender actor as you would get an onslaught of it today?
Yeah.
Well, I think Candace Cain was hired shortly after me on another show.
Right. Dirty Sexy Money.
Yeah. Just shortly after. So it was just, it happened to be a really good time for transsexuals in primetime television.
Yeah. Right.
So no, I got no backlash. I felt a lot of love. I mean, I still go to HRC events all the time, and it was good.
Great.
And what year did you transition?
I'm still transitioning.
You're still transitioning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, no foul.
Yes, that's the one. Go with that. Yeah. No foul, no gain?
Yeah, exactly. What is it? No foul, no...
No Tino shade?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That one right there.
That one works for me a little bit better.
So now, and then before the X-Men movies came really quickly for you.
Yes.
Which then led to other movies.
I think Femme Fatale came just after the first X-Men movie.
Right. I love Femme Fatale. In fact, we're in my dressing room now.
It's a great movie.
I have it in my collection
movie.
I came with my, because I love Brian De Palma movies.
Yeah.
I just love watching
the visual.
The visuals are amazing.
He's amazing. I mean, he saw that movie even before we shot one bit of film, and it was shot on film. This is back when we used to shoot on film. Remember how pretty that used to be? He knew exactly what every shot looked like before we even did one thing.
That's the mind of a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you do the whole movie with Antonio Banderas. What is he like?
Just as charming as you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
His accent is so thick. Mm-hmm. I remember having to sometimes correct his English sometimes. It was hilarious.
Right. Does Brian De Palma do a lot of overdubbing?
Yes.
You speak French in it.
I do, yeah.
Is that really your voice?
It really was me, yeah.
And so did you have to get taught and all the...
Well, I lived in Paris for 2.5 years, so my French was never perfect, but I was able to fake it.
Yeah. Really?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's impressive.
I
love acting in other languages.
Really?
Yeah, I love
what
it.
Other languages do you act in?
In Librarians. I've done several things in Italian. Transylvania.
In Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So did they bring in a coach and that's how you learn?
I figure it out myself.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like on Rosetta Stone or like?
Yeah, I Google it. Yeah. I listen to it on Rosetta Stone.
That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty fun.
And the girl who is in, who you make out with in Femme Fatale.
Yes.
Who is she?
That's Ree Rasmussen. She was, at the time, she and I were very, very good friends. Before the movie. Brian asked me if I had any thoughts on who could play this beautiful model who I make out with. She's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought she'd be perfect for it. And she was. And I haven't seen her in a couple years, but she's around. She's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing, though. I mean, because, you know, many models have tried to transition, for lack of a better word, into to movies and television. What do you think? What would you tell a model who's trying to do that? What do you think the key is? Because you've been very successful at it.
To be honest, I think either you're born an actor or you're not. And I think that if you're born as an actor, you have to hone your skills. You have to keep going to class. You have to study. You have to stay humble. You have to be vulnerable and open yourself up to the fact that you might make a fool of yourself in front of people. And a lot of models have a hard time being vulnerable.
I think a lot of humans have
a
hard time.
Uh-huh. I agree. And do you still keep up with classes?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And are you in classes? Are they solo classes? Are you with other people in the room?
I for some reason, going to class with people in the room is always the most uncomfortable situation for me, which means it's exactly what I need to be doing the most.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone is what you need to do if you want to be an actor.
Right.
I prefer one-on-one, which sometimes is all I can do just based on timing. But group classes are good for you, you know?
Right, right. Okay, so now talk about opening yourself up like that. The first time you started doing it and all this stuff started coming out, how do you resist holding back? How do you resist going, oh, my, I can't go there. I can't go there. I don't want to go there. No, thank you, ma'am. You know what I mean? In acting.
Well, no, I think when you're acting, you sort of become a channel. So it's not really up to you at a certain point. I mean, you have to focus and you have to get out of your own way is the most important thing. I mean, sometimes when you show up, if I show up for work under the weather or hungover, that's when I feel like I'm out of my way the most. Because you're sort of like, ugh.
Because everything is down.
Yeah. Just got to get through the end of this day.
So we just got to show up drunk for work.
Yeah, well, not drunk, but hungover.
Hungover, okay.
Yeah, right.
I like that, though. But it's true, because if you think about it, I don't drink. And the few times I've ever gotten drunk, limited. I literally had my last alcoholic beverage at 21, which is really isn't that long ago. But
this is yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for seeing that, mm-hmm. Rebecca. Mm-hmm. But the whole thought is when it was, or I was drunk, not hungover, but drunk, literally the reason I don't drink is because I have zero boundaries.
Right.
At all.
Yeah. I don't – trying to act while drunk is not interesting to me.
Correct.
Right, right.
At all.
Right. But having your defenses down –
having your defenses down and getting out of your own way is key.
And it's amazing, but it's also scary.
Yes.
It's the most frightening thing in the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know you have a bullseye on your head.
When you think about all your acting jobs, which role do you think shows the most raw and vulnerable Rebecca Romijn?
You know, I mean, I look back at the things I did when I was much younger, and it's like, oh, God, look at how green I was. I
evolution.
Wish I could do it again and really
No, that's what makes
go
you
for
who
it.
You are,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Femme Fatale was the most my most special experience in film.
Were
so
the
far.
Tears real, or were they?
Yeah.
Can you not do real tears anymore?
Yeah, you can. It's hard, though. And especially, you know, because now I work in hour-long television, which, I mean, we've got 10 pages to shoot in a day, and we shoot seven-day episodes, and we move so quickly that if we get anywhere close to it in one take, we move on.
Yeah, right.
And it's... Right.
Even if you hate it?
If we hate it, we can really beg for, you know, for another
go. Give her another take.
Yeah.
Give her another take.
You know, there's something about the challenge of that and the sense of accomplishment at the end of the day that I love working at that pace. You know, when we're shooting X-Men, where you've got the biggest budget in the world and 6-8 months to play with, sometimes it takes them 3 days to shoot one scene. And it's slightly mind-numbing sometimes.
Did you get to work with... I know that there's all different X-Men, and don't shoot me. My husband sees them
all. No,
right,
there are a lot of them.
But did you get to work with...
Hugh Jackman?
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes.
Patrick Stewart. Who I have the hots for.
He is so hot. Oh, my God.
Oh, he's completely
so
hot.
The
voice. You are correct.
The intellect.
Sexy.
The voice.
Everything about him
is sex. Sexual.
Yes.
Sexuality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sexualism.
Oozy.
Yeah.
Oozes.
The
dripping.
Oh, my God.
How do you get over that? Like, for me, because I am still a fangirl, as a performer, an actor, whatever, when people come on RuPaul's Drag Race... I'm a professional, but I still go like, oh my God, I got so excited to meet you. Like, there's that moment of, okay, you go through it too, you know?
Well.
You do, very few that could do that to you. I know Dolly Parton could do that to you.
Yeah, but she's never been on the show.
No, but in life, just in general, when you know you're going to meet them.
Yeah, yeah.
I know how you were on the show. I can't say it, but years ago,
but now I'm a jaded old.
Yeah, aren't we all?
The only one who would do that for me now is Judge Judy.
And
but I would keep my cool with Judge Judy.
Because you have to kind of go in a room and go, okay, right, get it together.
Sure.
You know,
and you just rely on professionalism.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And hope it shows up.
Yeah. Right. And hope you're saving face.
Yeah. Now, when you started acting and the emotions came up, did therapy have to accompany all the emotions that came up?
Wow. Well, I mean, therapy just in my own private life came up. Therapy is something just like acting lessons that I think that it's like going to the gym. You got to keep going.
Completely.
I'm a full-on believer going to the gym, therapy, and acting lessons.
And do you guys remember back in, I want to say the 80s, how therapy was so taboo and people would, it was very LA and people would kind of associate rich, troubled Hollywood people when going to therapy.
Yes.
Is that weird?
It is weird. How do you find
And there are a lot of straight men also who still take issue with
it. Yeah, make fun of it.
I don't need that.
I think it's because the idea that you would be, that a person would be so vulnerable that they would need someone to talk to about their issues. And I think the idea of talking to someone about your issues is thought of as weak or being female or something.
I feel like it's the opposite.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're nail head.
Yeah. How do you... In general, not just specifically, how do you find a good therapist?
Oh, I don't know. It's got to be...
Angie's List, obviously.
Is that how it goes?
Or Yelp.
Craigslist.
Yes.
I saw a couple until I finally found one that I thought I was really getting something from her. I mean, I felt like she was getting me, and it just felt useful and helpful.
Yeah.
And she's the one that I call when I need to.
I think you need to go through a few before you find that gem.
Yeah, I went through a few.
Yeah, you have to connect. It's not that they can't help you with their style of therapy. It's that if there's not this connection, leave.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the same woman for the past 17 years.
I know you have.
But, you know, and you know, I haven't seen her probably in almost a year now. I go see her when I need a little touch-up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
At one point, you were calling for a touch-up.
Once a week. Yeah. Once a week.
Yeah.
But you know, because we're – it's like she's like family for me. There are certain things that I haven't told her.
So you know what that means?
What?
Time for a new therapist.
Time for a new therapist,
because you're too close with her intimately.
Yeah.
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 There are certain things you're withholding from your therapist. Uh-huh.
Yeah. AKA time to move on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not a bad thing.
No, not
it's
a bad thing.
It's just evolution.
Oh, my God. I think of her all the time because so much of what we've done together is just – I've grown so much in her presence, and her – she's allowed the space for me to do that.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, there are certain things that they're sort of embarrassing to me. But that's the thing about – you know what? How I found her is that I went for a job – an acting job, and the casting director said, you know what, I think you need to open up a little bit. I'm going to send you to, I've probably told you this story. She sent me to the redhead on the Waltons. Her name is McDonough, Mary McDonough. Mary McDonough.
Okay.
On the Waltons. And Mary McDonough said, oh, you know what? I think you do need to open up.
She's an acting teacher?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm going to send you to my therapist. And that's how I found
you
my therapist.
You got your therapist from the Waltons.
I certainly did.
That is such a Hollywood story.
Totally.
Yes.
Where else are you going to hear a story like that?
From
but
Walton
I know
Mountain.
How much you loved her.
I still do. Love,
present
love,
tense,
love.
Yes. Yeah. But I know also how much she shaped you and how much she's helped you work through a lot of shit.
Yes.
She shaped. Does she contour you as well?
She shapes. She contours.
She shapes. Uh-huh.
Sometimes she cinches me.
Oh.
Only on a good day.
Only on a good day. Only
I
on
love
a good
it.
Day. Now, okay. So the Librarian starts on November 1st. And how many episodes do you guys shoot?
10 episodes.
10 episodes.
10 episodes.
How long
for
does that
two?
Take for you to film that? Because you were there all summer.
I was there all summer long. I was there from the very end of May
in
Portland, Oregon, until the beginning of September.
And why Portland?
Dean Devlin, our executive producer, has a little mini studio up there. He produced Independence Day and The Patriot.
Such a great city.
It's a great city. He did another series up there called Leverage that lasted for 5 seasons on TNT. So he's got a whole setup, and it's all
Hutton,
in-house.
Right?
Timothy Hutton, that's right.
Him.
And Christian Kane, who's also in The Librarians.
Mm-hmm.
So he has his own studio. He's got his own camera equipment, his own prop house,
and
his own wardrobe.
And are there tax breaks and stuff up there?
There are tax breaks. He's done a whole thing. And Portland is a lovely place.
Especially if you like to eat.
So lovely.
Yeah, but is it
a foodie central?
Yes,
it
is.
Is it as rainy and dreary as Seattle?
It's raining.
Not in the summer.
Not
the time. I mean, it was.
But not Seattle in the summer either, really. Seattle could be beautiful. It goes through its moments. Uh-huh. I know it's wetter than Portland.
Yeah.
That sounded really sexual. Didn't mean it that way. But and then Portlandia has kind of given this resurgence to such a great city, deservedly so. It's such a great city.
Yeah, it's a great city. It's a well-designed, well-loved, beautiful.
Do you love Portlandia?
I love Portlandia. I love Portland.
And I know you do too.
I had made the mistake of binge-watching a lot of Portlandia, and then I got really angry at the two lesbians in the bookstore.
Why?
I don't know. I started hating them because it's so real.
Yeah.
It's so spot
so
on.
Real. Portlandia is spot on.
They're not meant to be likable.
They're not meant to be likable.
No.
But
that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, they're angry lesbian bookstore owners.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And you're from Berkeley. You're from the Bay Area.
I'm from Berkeley, which is kind of like Portland.
Yes.
You know, the original, but Portland's whole adage is keep Portland weird. Berserkly was doing it 25 years ago.
Love it.
Is that what they call Berkeley?
Uh-huh.
Berserkly?
Uh-huh.
At what age did you find out that that's what they called it?
I grew up there.
I've never heard that term before.
Yeah.
Berserkly. Done. It's like, okay, but Michelle knows this. We're going to go to break in a minute, but Michelle, do you know what they call the Bronx? New York is called the Bronx?
No.
The Brizonx.
The Brizonx or?
The Boogie.
You are correct.
The Boogie Down Bronx.
Yeah, Boogie Down. Yeah. Right. So you could say, I'm from the Boogie Down, and people will automatically know you mean the Bronx.
Right.
And then the Brizonx.
The Brizonx.
And then, okay, do you know what they call Brooklyn?
No.
And I'm from the BK.
Oh, the BK, sure.
Yes. Yeah. And each kind of city has its own, you know, do or die Bed-Stuy.
Oh, do or die Bed-Stuy.
You know, things like that.
What do they call Mount Vernon?
Money earning.
Money earning.
Did you not know that?
a nickname.
Yes!
Money Earn in Mount Vernon.
Yes!
And do they have something for Staten Island?
The Forgotten Borough.
And now, are you from Queens? Are you from Queens?
Hey, Queens.
No, no, I'm setting you up. You have to say, no, you say, no.
Oh, no, 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 you're not. Are you from
I'm
Queens?
I'm doing it wrong, am I?
Yeah,
oh, guess what, Michelle? I'm from Queens.
No, that's still not right, is it?
No, no, no.
You it's not, to, I'm not a queen. I'm a...
No, no, no. You
which
say,
one?
Say, Michelle, I need you to say...
Are you from Queens?
No, I'm from Normal Paper.
Right, that's what it is.
That's it.
Hey, Rue, are you from Queens?
No, I'm from Normal Paper.
But, what?
Hey, Michelle, what's for dinner?
Reservation. Stupid New York commercials that make me no sense.
No
it was
sense.
These two Jewish guys and their mother, Cornette, I think.
It was Cornette? Yeah, I think it was Cornette.
Cornette,
yeah.
But not the extra value is what you get. Right. It was the Cornette furniture store.
Furniture store.
And these two guys, and they always say, no talking orangutan.
Oh, my God.
That have stuffed animals. And then he'd go, hey, Ma, what's for dinner? And the mother would go, reservation. Just like that.
You know, Jerry is a New Yorker.
So he would get it.
And he talks in his sleep. And for some reason, when he talks in his sleep, he repeats like old New York commercials. Like
oh
he's
God.
Literally at 4 a.m. rolled over and went, time to make the donuts.
Yeah! Oh my God, I love it.
And you've told him about this the next
what
day.
What does he say?
Time to make the donuts mean.
Well, it's Dunkin' Donuts.
You don't know that?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he had to tell
California,
me.
California, right.
That is crazy. Now, speaking of commercials, we're going to take a little bitty break right now. We're going to be right back with Rebecca Romaine.
Thank you, Dr. Zizmore.
Hey, let's talk about Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's the holidays, and people are looking for a little something extra to spice up their lives. You know, it's cold in most parts of the country.
Yes. You know, the funny thing is, I remember seeing Adam and Eve catalogs when I was a little girl.
You're kidding me.
No. My dad, I think my dad and my mom were freaky deeks.
Ooh.
Because, like, he was the one who would hide the Playboys under his bed.
Yeah.
And he would get the Adam and Eve catalogs, and then I'd see them coming, I'd totally, like, nick them and check them out and read them, be like, what's this?
Ooh.
What's that? And they have grown so much it's since like, those days.
It's like a superstore. It is a, it's an adult superstore where you can get anything you want without having to be embarrassed by going into you know the neighborhood little shop and see your neighbors. Oh, hi, Mrs. Johnson. How are you?
Just picking up some milk and lube. You know how we do.
Yeah, no, it's really easy. You just go to adamandeve.com and guess what? For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item.
Yes, babies, but that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also get 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. I have to tell you, I've been married for 18 years.
Yeah.
Inspiration is fun.
You need that, don't you?
100%. It spices it up.
Absolutely. It gets routine after a while.
Not always able to recreate the scenes.
Yeah.
Like flexibility and stuff. But we'll die trying.
Well, it's just, you know, you got to get them to them for just trying.
Come on.
You
plus,
know.
A free extra gift so sensual that Rue and I can't even mention it here on the podcast. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. They're not kidding. Just check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type in RU for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you're going to get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, free. Oh my God. All
so
this
free.
Free shipping. Just use the offer code RU. That's RU at adamandeve.com. And happy holidays, babies.
Have fun. Mm-hmm. Hey, we are back with Rebecca Romaine, What's the Tea, Michelle Visage. Now, Rebecca has a new it's the second season of The Librarians on TNT. It starts November 1st.
And thank you for explaining, because I totally thought it was a search to find America's next best librarian.
Next hottest librarian.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Not a bad idea,
actually.
Yeah. You know? But see, the thing is that they don't have libraries anymore. Because everybody has, who's going to need a book when you can look, the books are all on the thing.
No, I go to libraries all the time with my kids.
Really?
Every city has a city library. Are they maybe as populated as they were anymore?
So in Calla Blacklist has...
That has a library.
There's a library in Calla Blacklist.
You both live out there.
We do.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you were telling me yesterday that, you know, you don't have issues with neighbors because there's no neighbors. And I thought, now there's a reason to live out there for me.
There still are kind of really unpopulated populated areas, and because there's a lot of wealth, for lack of a better term. So it was farmland until not very long ago.
Right.
So when people with money came in and started kind of migrating out there, they built these huge homes on huge pieces of land.
Yeah. Right. And they have all these developments out there also.
Yes.
Right. And your house used to be a house of
Yes.
Oh, that's
brothel.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Do you still have people knocking on the door saying, hey?
Old hooker ghost.
Yeah. I got $5.
No, some of the old Johns.
Can I get a blowy?
No, honestly, I think my house has been a party pad for decades.
But do you feel that energy?
I do. I have felt the energy in there. It's pretty great. I've had random strangers come up to me in other countries. I remember being in France once and a guy came up to me and said, hey, you live up there in Calabasas. I know where you live. I spent a whole night on ecstasy inside your fireplace in the 70s.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
I think that's so awesome.
What? And how long have you had this house?
I bought it. It was completely falling apart. I bought it in 1999 and spent a year fixing it up.
Before you married John Stamos?
No, I was with John. We had lived up the street about 6 miles up, and we moved there together. He did not love the house like I did.
Right. So
women always win.
He introduced you to Cala Blacklist?
I moved to Cala Blacklist because that's where John lived, yes.
Or the kids call it Cala Badass.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I call it Cabalassus.
Cabalassus. Now, that's more my speed.
Yeah.
My
dyslexic.
Cabalassus.
Cabalassus.
Well, that's nice, too.
Yeah.
Just trying to make it fancy.
Yeah.
So initially it was a brothel that then turned into sort of a hippie hangout.
I think so, yeah. And when I got there, I mean, there was no heat or air conditioning. You could see straight through the walls to the blue sky.
When was
it built? It was built in like 1925. Oh, Randolph Scott used to live there.
Oh, I love Randolph Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was Carrie.
And Les Brown, that band leader.
Yes, Les Brown. I love Les
that
Brown.
That band leader.
Yeah. She's Les so Brown. Cute. Yeah. You know who Randolph Scott? He was allegedly boyfriends with Cary Grant.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And Les Brown did stuff with I'm not going to say it. I can't be wrong. But there was a big singer from back then that used to do a lot of stuff.
Right. Les Brown and the World Renowned. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have some of his music on my thing. Now, and you're a big music now. With the girls, your daughters.
How old are they now?
They're going to be 7 in December.
Oh, my God.
How are you introducing them to music? Because I know that music is a big part of you. You love music. How do you introduce your children to music and the arts?
Well, you know, one of the best things about parenting is curating the books they read, the movies they watch, the music they listen to.
Bless your sweetheart being the mother of 7-year-olds.
Yeah, it's nice right now.
Enjoy that.
It's going to get bad. Stop freaking me out.
It's not that it's going to get bad. It's that being able to curate mentality is going to go right into the crapper,
They're in school. I know that, you know, there's all these outside influences all this music that they're going to naturally be hearing from their friends and certain radio stations that I'm not going to want to listen to, that they're going to be into. So I started them on Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and Dolly Parton.
Great.
It's a great start,
choice. And they make me proud. When we're in stores and Stevie Wonder is playing and they turn around and go, Mom, is this Stevie Wonder?
Yes!
Mom is doing her job right.
But it's that moment, like whenever, you know who I'm going to talk about, whenever they hear a song, I'll look at my kids and say, who is this?
Uh-huh.
Immediately, they always say Madonna. Immediately. Uh-huh. Even if it's a man, they're going to say Madonna because I pound it into their head for so long. But my 15-year-old listens to solely music from the 20s, 30s, and 40s that she found on her own.
Oh.
So there are upsides to it.
Yes. Well, introducing them to different kinds of music hopefully will open up those doors and get them going.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And they had a Michael Jackson-themed birthday party last year.
Shut up!
And in Calabasas, a lot of those Jacksons live out there, and we have met Jermaine Jackson.
You met Your Majesty?
Your Majesty wasn't there. Not the day that the girls got to meet Jermaine Jackson, but when they found out that was Michael Jackson's brother.
Were they excited?
They were so excited. Oh, and we went and we got a picture with Jermaine Jackson. And then Dolly couldn't stop talking about it. My daughter goes, I want to meet all of Michael Jackson's brothers. And then Janet.
And then
LaToya.
LaToya.
Well, at that point, I realized I was like, oh no, I don't think I've mentioned LaToya.
What?
I forgot.
What about Reeby? Did you leave Reeby out?
I left Reeby out too.
Oh dear.
I haven't gotten there. You guys, it's a work in progress. Yes. I am not a perfect parent. Yes. I am the first to say it.
You still have some years to go.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, you've got two girls. Yeah. And you're from. You have a sister, Tamara.
Tamara.
And how close in years
She's
are you?
She's 2.5 years younger than
two
me.
And, years, and did you guys remain friends? Were you friends in childhood, or are you? I know you're friends now.
We're closer now than we were as kids.
Did you fight growing up?
We fought. Yeah, like siblings do.
But like, how bad?
Sometimes worse than others, but we always, no matter what, slept in the same bed. We had separate bedrooms, but she would always come and get in my bed.
Right.
Really?
We were children of divorce, and so we always had each other.
Right.
We were always very comforting for one another.
Nice to know.
Yeah.
Well, no, the whole idea of having children, I mean, listen, I love children. I just could not stand the parents. And because inevitably, if you have children, you have to deal with the other parents.
Yeah, they can be a nightmare.
It can be a nightmare.
It can be a nightmare.
And their idea of raising children is definitely going to be different from your idea of raising
children.
And, you know, you don't want to be seen. You don't want to be the pariah. I know that, Michelle, you had an experience with the other mothers because Michelle dresses provocatively.
I am who I am, and especially where we live. Mm-hmm. I am judged, scrutinized from the minute they see me pull up with pumps and tits and tattoos and black hair. I don't fit in at all.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I never did, so I never had the problem with fitting in. You can look at me all you want. Watch my ass as I walk away. Do not care.
Because you're referred to as the Elvira of the PTA, aren't you?
Kinda.
Yeah.
And it happened. Yeah. And by PTA, we mean pussy titty ass, because I don't go no parent-teacher association. But I support my kids. I give them money, do what they got to do, you know, and I'm there at the functions. I even helped, like, first day of school, middle school, to do all the pictures. Like, I'm there. But the mothers do not warm up to me to come over and even get to know me.
Right.
Because they're so...
Count yourself lucky.
Amen. They're so surface out there. I know Brandy Glanville had the same problem. We talked about this. Mm-hmm. It's just there's no warmth. There's no accepting where
but
we
aren't
live.
There other mothers in show business out there? I mean, aren't the Kardashians don't have children in schools out there?
All them kids went to private school.
Yeah.
Right.
They did go to the middle school that my kids
Yeah, we've
to.
Got our kids in public school out there, which is why we
That's why we live out there.
Yeah, that's
which
why we
is
live
why
out
you
there.
Live out there, uh-huh. because the public schools are so good.
And I'm a public school kid, and Jared was a public school kid, and I support public school.
Yeah, I'm a public restroom kid.
Oh. Yes,
myself.
You are.
Yeah. And I think I turned out, I know everything I learned. I learned it from television.
Yes.
And public restrooms.
And public restrooms.
I'm a child of Sesame Street, 100%. You and George Michael. But it ended differently for you. Snappy snaps.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, same thing with animals. I don't have animals. I love animals. But then you have to see all the other people while you're walking your dog around the block, don't you? You don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really not that bad.
I was actually wondering about that. Just this morning, I was wondering if you'd ever had a dog.
I don't have any. First of all, because I travel too much, you know, which I don't do anymore. But
now the reason would be soon.
Yes, of course, she's trying to get me to tour. But now the reason would be I don't want to meet other people. But I know I seem like I'm really friendly on the radio and on television, and I am, but I don't want to see anybody. I'm not a people person.
Well, then you can dress like me and nobody will talk to you.
Yeah. No, they will. People will. But they don't want to talk to you. They will want to come over and do a selfie.
Yeah, but if you're in the right... In your neighborhood, probably. Yeah. But in our neighborhood...
It doesn't happen to us.
They don't care.
Nope.
Yeah. How do you handle selfies?
It's awful. The lighting's never good. Yeah. The angle's never good. You know.
Once you hit 40, it's never a pleasant experience.
It's never a pleasant experience.
Yeah. Right. But do you ever turn people down and say, love ya, mean it?
Very rarely. I mean, it's, you know...
Yeah.
Very rarely.
It's easier
just to do it and get it done with, but then you've got these horrible pictures floating around.
But it is what it is. The aftermath is a bitch, but the truth is, you know what you look like. You know who you are. If you're stable in that, you could try to go, okay, let's do it if we hold it up here and let's look directly at the sun so we're completely blown out and all you see are our nostrils and my eyelashes. But then they'll get you a day where it's so, so bad. And I've only said no maybe 2 or 3 times where I'll go, can I just give you a hug? I'll sign anything
That's
you
what
want.
I do. Yeah.
You know, it's the memory. You don't need the picture, you know.
Right.
And they're usually really understanding about it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They can look at you and be like, yeah, maybe you're right.
Today's not a good day for you.
No.
All right. So listen, our executive producer just entered the room. We probably have to get back to work. We're actually filming Skin Wars right now. And Rebecca has been kind enough to take some time during the lunch break to talk to us for our podcast. So we're going to wrap this up. You've been fabulous. Thank you so much
for
being on our show.
This is so fun.
I know that our executive producer wants to talk to us about something. Probably something, tucking panties or
is it a tucking
pasties?
Conversation?
It's pasties.
Is it pasting?
Consultation on that.
Yeah.
And
talking, yeah.
It's always the right people.
It's always the same thing. Yes. Titties, ass. And
everything
ass
in between.
And titties.
Right after the crack.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have tips.
Yes. Well, this season of Skin Wars that we're filming right now is probably going to be out in March.
Is it? I thought it was earlier than
it's
that.
It's February.
January.
January.
Well, we better get to work.
Yes.
We got a lot of work.
Start judging.
Start a shoot.
You better start hosting, ho.
But...
I'm waiting for you to edit the show.
Oh! So, but in the meantime, you guys are going to get to see The Librarians on TNT with starring Rebecca Romijn. And anything else coming up?
Just that for now. Between this and that, my dance card is full.
Yeah, that's a lot
at the moment.
That's a lot. I don't know how your kids. Do they say? Do they give you?
Do they
the
look
blues?
At you? And go, who are you?
My kids. Yeah, they have no idea who I am. They don't recognize me anymore.
You are.
Yeah. And your name is.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks
and
for having
I
me.
Will see you out there on the set
in about 30 seconds.
In about 30 seconds, exactly.
Thank you,
until next time, Michelle.
Okay, baby.
Bye.
Bye.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.